Welcome back, CFL fans. We're breaking down all the action from Week 15 of the Continental Football League's 2071 season.
8 games worth of stats.
8 games worth of...
To cover.
Yeah, to dissect. So let's dive right in.
It was a week of surprises.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Some teams we expected to just dominate faltered,
yeah,
while others rose to the occasion.
Yeah. Let's start with a rundown of the scores.
Okay.
Because we had some real nail biters this week. In the East, the Brooklyn Brawlers took down the Boston Blizzard, 34-16. A pretty decisive win for the Brawlers, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. The Brawlers' offense was clicking.
Yeah.
And their defense kept the Blizzard's scoring opportunities to a minimum.
Yeah. Meanwhile, out in the Midwest, the Omaha Arrowheads edged out the St. Louis Silverbacks 34-28.
Oh, wow.
That one went right down to the wire.
Absolutely. That's the kind of game that keeps you glued to your seat until the final whistle.
The Denver Dynamite had a bit of a scare in Fargo, but managed to squeak out a 24-20 victory over the Sodbusters.
It seems like the Dynamite's offense struggled in the second half,
yeah,
giving the Sodbusters a chance to claw their way back.
Up north, the Alaska Kodiaks pulled off a bit of an upset, snatching a 24-21 win against the Seattle Spartans.
That was a game where special teams really made a difference.
Yeah.
The Kodiaks had some excellent returns that flipped field position and gave their offense a shorter field to work with.
Down south, the Detroit Vampires put on a defensive clinic, shutting down the Ohio Aviators 37-7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Aviators just couldn't find any rhythm against that Vampires defense.
Wow.
It was a dominant performance for sure.
Over in the desert, the Honolulu Sharks survived a late game surge from the Tucson Toros to win 20-13.
Those Toros never give up.
No, they don't.
It seems like they always find a way to make things interesting.
The San Antonio Stingers traveled to Tennessee and came away with a 23-19 victory over the Militia.
Another close one.
Yeah.
These single-digit wins really showcase the parity,
right,
we're seeing in the CFL this season. Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Saturday, for that matter.
Yeah.
Any team can beat any other team.
And finally, in a game that had everyone on the edge of their seats, the Las Vegas Rounders escaped Los Angeles with a 23-20 win over the Outlaws.
Talk about a heart stopper. That one could have gone either way.
So there you have it, a whirlwind tour of the Week 15 scoreboard. But as you know, the real story is in the details.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The stats only tell part of the story.
Right.
We need to dig deeper and see how these outcomes unfolded.
Let's start by highlighting some of the standout players who really made a difference this week. For the Detroit Vampires, Don Humphrey was an absolute monster on defense.
Oh, he was picking off passes left and right.
Yeah.
3 interceptions in a single game. That's,
yeah,
the kind of performance that can single-handedly swing the momentum of a game.
Speaking of momentum-shifting plays,
yeah,
Gabriel Lane had a pick six for the Las Vegas Rounders.
Oh.
That really put the Los Angeles Outlaws on their heels.
Those big defensive plays can be absolute game changers. A touchdown on defense is like striking gold.
Right.
It completely shifts the energy on the field.
And up in Alaska, Bart Marsh had a day for the Kodiaks, throwing for 375 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
He was just unstoppable.
Marsh was in the zone.
Yeah.
Making smart decisions and connecting with his receivers with pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah.
He was the driving force behind the Kodiaks' upset win.
And, sometimes you see a player who puts up impressive numbers, even in a losing effort.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Seattle Spartans receiver Griffin Palos, who got 6 passes for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He was a bright spot for the Spartans, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He fought hard and made some incredible catches.
Right.
But unfortunately, it wasn't enough to secure the win for his team.
Down in the Lone Star State, O.J. Thompson was the workhorse for the San Antonio Stingers, putting up 125 rushing yards in their victory against the Tennessee Militia.
Thompson was a beast. He ran with power and determination,
right,
wearing down the Militia defense and helping control the tempo of the game.
We also saw some quarterbacks who really stepped up this week. Emmett Coate for the Denver Dynamite threw for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Coate was incredibly efficient.
Yeah.
Making the most of his opportunities and spreading the ball around to his receivers. It was a textbook performance from a quarterback who knows how to win.
And over in Honolulu, Hugh Hemingway kept the Sharks afloat, throwing for 285 yards and 2 touchdowns in their close win against the Tucson Toros.
Hemingway showed a lot of poise under pressure, especially late in the game.
Yeah.
He didn't let the Toros come back rattle him.
Right.
And he made the plays he needed to make to secure the victory.
These were just a few of the many standout performances we saw in Week 15.
And you know what's amazing? We haven't even scratched the surface of all the exciting plays and strategic decisions that unfolded across these 8 games.
Let's take a closer look at a couple of these games and really break down how those final scores came about, shall we?
Let's do it. I'm eager to dive into some of those nail-biting finishes and see how those games were won and lost. All right, let's rewind to that Honolulu Sharks and Tucson Toros game.
Okay.
This one was a real nail-biter.
Show us.
Decided by just one touchdown.
Yeah, it was a low-scoring affair with both teams relying heavily on their defenses.
Yeah. The Sharks managed to get on the board early with a field goal, but the Toros answered back with a field goal of their own in the second quarter.
It felt like neither offense could find its rhythm.
Right.
Lots of three and outs and punts. It really put the pressure on the defenses to keep the other team out of the end zone.
And they did. It was a real defensive slugfest with both teams making some big plays.
But the Sharks finally broke through in the third quarter, scoring the game's only touchdown on a short pass from Hugh Hemingway to Reggie Martin.
That touchdown proved to be the difference maker.
Yeah.
The Toros fought hard and managed to add another field goal in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But they couldn't quite close the gap.
Now let's shift gears and head over to the City of Angels.
Yeah, okay.
Where the Las Vegas Rounders and the Los Angeles Outlaws put on an absolute show.
This one went right down to the wire.
It did.
With the Rounders escaping with a 23-20 victory.
The Outlaws had a chance to tie the game with a field goal.
Right.
In the final seconds.
Yeah.
But the kick sailed wide left.
Talk about a heartbreaking loss for the Outlaws. They played with a lot of heart and really gave the Rounders a run for their money.
Let's break down that final quarter.
Okay.
Because it was a wild one.
It was.
The Rounders came into the fourth quarter with a slim 3-point lead.
Yeah, and they extended that lead early in the fourth with a field goal from Abel Roden. But then things got really interesting.
You said it. Gabriel Lane picked off a pass from the Outlaws' Liam Thompson and took it all the way back for a touchdown.
That pick six gave the Rounders a 10-point lead.
Right.
And seemed like it might put the game out of reach.
Right.
But the Outlaws weren't done yet.
They answered back with a touchdown of their own, cutting the Rounders' lead to just 3 points.
The tension was palpable in the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
You could feel the momentum shifting back and forth.
And then with less than 2 minutes left in the game, Roden kicked his second field goal of the night, putting the Rounders up by 6 points.
That felt like the dagger, didn't it?
Yeah.
A 6-point lead with less than 2 minutes to go is a tough mountain to climb.
It is, but the Outlaws almost pulled it off.
Right.
They marched down the field and scored another touchdown with just seconds left on the clock.
I thought they were going to go for two and try to tie the game.
I did too, but they opted for the field goal to send the game into overtime.
And as we know, that kick went wide.
Yeah.
It was a gutsy call.
Yeah.
But it just didn't pan out for the Outlaws.
So we've seen two very different games.
Right.
A low-scoring defensive battle in Honolulu and an offensive shootout in Los Angeles.
It really highlights the diversity of styles we see in the CFL. You've got teams that rely on their defenses to win games, and you've got teams that like to air it out and score points.
And then you've got teams like the Detroit Vampires who can do both.
Right.
Their defense was lights out against the Ohio Aviators, but they also had a balanced offensive attack.
You know that Vampires defense is something special. Don Humphrey's 3 interceptions were impressive.
Yeah.
But it was a total team effort.
They were swarming to the ball, putting pressure on the quarterback and making it difficult for the Aviators to move the chains.
It's going to be interesting to see how other teams try to counter that Vampires defense in the coming weeks.
Speaking of the coming weeks, what are some of the broader trends you're seeing emerge as we head into Week 16?
Well, we've already talked about parity, and I think that's going to be a major theme throughout the rest of the season.
Right.
Any team can beat any other team on any given day.
That makes for some exciting football, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it also means that teams can't afford to have an off week.
Exactly. Every game is crucial and every possession matters.
Any other trends jumping out at you from the stat sheets?
One thing that's caught my eye is the rise of the running game. We're seeing more and more teams leaning on their running backs to control the clock and keep their offenses on the field.
That makes sense, especially with defenses becoming so adept at shutting down the pass.
Right. If you can establish a strong running game, it opens up the play-action pass and makes your offense more multidimensional.
So it's a chess match out there.
It is.
Offenses are trying to find ways to outsmart defenses, and defenses are constantly adapting to new offensive schemes.
And it's that constant evolution that makes the CFL such a fascinating league to follow.
So as we wrap up this segment of our deep dive into Week 15, what's one thing you'd like our listeners to keep in mind as we head into Week 16?
I think the biggest takeaway is that this season is wide open. There's no clear-cut favorite, and every team has a chance to make a run at the championship.
It's going to be a wild ride. And that unpredictability is what makes the Continental Football League, the CFL, so captivating. You really never know what's going to happen next.
It's true. Just when you think you have a team figured out, they go and surprise you.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Week 15, let's shift our focus to the bigger picture. What are some of the overarching storylines that are emerging as we head into the final stretch of the season?
Well, as we've discussed, parity is definitely a major theme.
Right.
The standings are incredibly tight.
Yeah.
And there are a number of teams who could realistically make a run at the championship.
It's going to be a battle royale down the stretch. Any teams that are particularly catching your eye?
You know, the Detroit Vampires are looking pretty formidable right now. Their defense is arguably the best in the league, and their offense is starting to click.
They've certainly made a statement with that dominant win over the Ohio Aviators.
And don't count out the Alaska Kodiaks. They've quietly put together a solid season, and that upset win over the Seattle Spartans shows they can compete with the best.
Bart Marsh is a quarterback who can win games single-handedly.
He's got the arm, the mobility, and the decision-making skills to lead a team to a championship.
But it's not just about individual players, is it? It's about teamwork coaching and a little bit of luck.
Absolutely. You need all the pieces to fall into place if you want to win a championship.
So as we look ahead to Week 16 and beyond, what are some of the key questions that you think will determine the outcome of the season?
Well, I think one of the biggest questions is whether the Detroit Vampires can maintain their defensive dominance. They've been incredibly stingy all season long, but offenses are starting to adjust.
It'll be interesting to see if they can keep up this level of play down the stretch.
Another key question is whether some of these young quarterbacks can handle the pressure of the playoff race. We've seen some flashes of brilliance from guys like Bart Marsh and Emmett Konat, but can they consistently perform at a high level when the stakes are highest?
That's the million-dollar question.
And then, of course, there's the question of injuries.
Right.
A key injury to a star player can completely derail a team's season.
It's a reminder that luck plays a role in football, just like in any sport.
So buckle up, folks. The CFL season is heading into the home stretch, and it's going to be a wild ride.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Week 15. We'll be back next week to break down all the action from Week 16. Until then, keep those helmets shiny and those spirits high.